You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
I think every Sunday we're doing a bit of show and tell with this new series, Take Your Seat. And I thought I would cleanse the stage a little bit because over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of talk about colours and different teams. So I brought in my favourite piece of... Actually, I'll just put it up here so everyone can see. This is actually was given to me for Father's Day. It's actually an opportunity for us to learn the Bible together as a family. So every night, I sit Judah on the couch and we run through a memory verse. And I think this one is particularly... This is not what we're going to be preaching from, but this one's particularly good just in light of what's just happened over the last couple of weeks. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind... The trash talk about, you know, the footy teams, and straining towards what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize, and that's been a really great encouragement for the start of the year too. But like I said, that's not what we're going to be looking at this morning. Let me set up, and then we will go from there. Growing up, who had a sibling that just had this miraculous ability to like get out of housework? Did anyone have like one of those siblings? Maybe you were that sibling. I envy you. But I had a brother that he just had this uncanny ability just to dodge the housework and dodge like certain things. Like growing up, we didn't have a dishwasher at home, so after dinner we would, you know, get to the dishes, and I couldn't find him anywhere. Like looking for him anywhere. Finally come to the toilet door, knock, knock, knock. Yeah, I'm in here, don't come in. I'm like, okay. It's almost like the thought of dishes triggered some kind of reflex that he had to leave. You know, growing up, he wanted a dog, and so he got this dog, and then, you know, mum wanted him to walk the dog, but every time mum asked if he can walk the dog, my brother was like, I got so much homework on. He became the most studious guy ever, like, only in those times. And it was just amazing. Whenever my parents would go away on like holidays when we got a bit older, we had to clean up the house after all the parties for when my parents come back. And he had like all these church meetings on like the night before. So it's like, okay, I'll pick up the slack. I'll get busy. The guy's never like early to meetings. And for those particular meetings, he was like 20 minutes early. And it's like... Great, okay. Why am I sharing this story about my brother? I love my brother. He's my best friend. I don't want to... If he's listening to the podcast, I doubt it. But I don't think this phenomenon exists just in the family unit. I was doing some reading over the holiday break, and one author writes this about the church having this conditional loyalty. And the way he frames it is that in the church today we have... spiritual hitchhikers or Christian hitchhikers. I was like, oh, that's an interesting analogy. And so then I'll just read the quote for what he writes in his book. The hitchhiker's thumb says, buy the car, pay for the repairs and the upkeep and the insurance, fill the car with gas, and I'll ride with you. But if you have an accident, you're on your own, and I'll probably sue. Today's church attenders, you go to the meetings, you serve on boards and committees, you grapple with the issues and do the work of the church and pay the bills, and I'll come along for the ride. But if things do not suit me, I'll criticize and get a better ride. I thought that was pretty sharp, like that's pretty full on, but he has a point. And I guess we find ourselves in this Take Your Seat series, and we're basically talking about what does it mean to be a part of a family? What does it mean to live as a healthy family, a church family at Sun Life Church? And this morning's message is based on feeling needed or being needed. And so the big idea for this message is families need people and people need families. It's pretty simple. Works, yeah? Families need people and people need families. So from Galatians 6, 1-5, we're going to unpack three sort of big ideas. First, families have burdens and loads. Second, families have blind spots. And third, families have a pattern. So let's, if you have your Bibles, grab them out with me, and we're going to have a read of this passage, and it should be up on the screen as well. So Galatians 6, 1 to 5 says this, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load." And we'll stop it right there. Let's just take a minute to pray and just bring our time to God. So Father, just like families need people and people need families, we need you right now to speak to us. May my words not be my words, but may they be your words. And may what I have to share encourage us, upbuild us, and also perhaps challenge us. And so Father, as we read your word, as we look at your word, help us to become more like you. And give us the courage and the strength for this moment to hear what you would have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we hit into the first point, I just wanted to share just a bit of background to this passage, because it's a little bit of a different background, but maybe a bit similar to ours. So just to set the scene, Paul is speaking to a day where the religious system of the day is very oppressive. Like, the religious leaders are quite oppressive on the people. They're burdening people and they're not helping people. So in Matthew 23, Jesus says this about the religious system. He says this, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit on in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." So what's going on? The scribes, the Pharisees, they're heaping all these laws, all these requirements, all these burdens on people. There's various things that they have to do to, you know, be a part of the community. There's things that they have to be, the things that they have to do. And so they're feeling burdened. There's this real sense of like, oh man, we can't do this. There's a works-based mentality that, you know, God will love you if you do these certain things, be circumcised, if you do certain behaviors and that kind of thing. There's financial burdens. And people are struggling under the weight of the expectation. And they don't have anyone to help. But Jesus says, you know, these leaders are not going to lift a finger to help the people achieve what they're actually saying they need to do. So it's into this context that Paul is speaking about this, these ideas of carrying one another's burdens and restoring people and that kind of thing. And so let's have a look at the first point, which is families have burdens and loads. So in the first point, Paul talks about how there's these two sort of ideas going on. He draws a distinction between burdens and loads. And in verse 2 it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. And then verse 5 it says, for each one should carry his own load. Have you noticed, like, just in the world today, that there's two kinds of extremes? There's like the cat people and the dog people. You're thinking, where's he going with this? Hopefully it'll make sense. You know, who's a cat person? It's got some cat people. Who's a dog person? Okay, and then maybe there's a few, you know, outliers that are neither. Maybe they're like crocodile people. I don't know. That would be odd. But where I'm going with this is cats are very, like, super independent, and dogs are often quite dependent, right? Super dependent, you know. Cats are like, I'm happy, just, you know, living life, just make sure there's food in my bowl and I'll be happy. And dogs are a bit more like, you know, play with me, pat me, clean me, all that sort of stuff. So, like, drawing these distinctions, the cat person is like this war hero, right? He's just like, I don't need anyone, I don't need any help. And, you know, I get hit by a car and no, I'll just walk it off. And, you know, they go to IKEA, they buy a whole heap of like flat pack furniture, or they get home and the first thing they do is throw out the instructions. It's like, I don't need no one to tell me what to do. You know, I'm super, you know, I got this. And with these guys, they often struggle with trusting other people. They often keep people at a distance because, you know, they want to be, you know, not trapped by those around them. And then there's the dog person, that's probably the needy mate. I don't know if you ever had a needy mate. I had a needy mate who, he never had money on him. It's like you go out for things, it's like, oh, sorry, not again. It's like, yeah, of course, he planned this. You know, he's always got an excuse, and he needs you to drive your places, and, you know, he's just one of those guys that's just super dependent and, like, doesn't take responsibility for his life, and he's sort of like just, you know, tags along to what you're doing with your life. And so, like, in this passage, initially it sort of seems like there's these two contrasts going on. There's, like, you know, this carrying burdens and there's these loads, and there's, like, these two ideas. It's like, you know, you need to carry your own load, but then it's like you need to give your burdens, and, you know, people need to carry burdens. And it's like, is Paul contradicting himself? Like, what's going on with this? Which one is he talking about? Do we be a dog person? Do we be a cat person? And Paul's kind of saying you need to be both, you know, like cat dog. No, I just thought of that on the fly. That was pretty good. But Paul's arguing for balance, right? So he's saying you need to take responsibility for others' burdens, help other people out. And you also need to take responsibility for the specific things, the loads that you have. And in that way, we reflect and fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Because, you know, we were talking about the religious guys heaping laws on people. The law of Christ is simply where he talks about, there's two things I say, love God, love others. And that's really sums up the law. Like, that's how we reflect who God is to people. So I guess let's just delve a little deeper on this burdens and load thing. Like, what's the difference? What is Paul talking about between burdens and loads, and what's going on there? So the word for burden, I'm not going to go into the Greek and all that sort of stuff, but the word for burden is really talking about this oppressive weight. Who has like a three-year-old child here? Who's got a child in the room maybe that we can get up for a demo? No, I'm joking. I was thinking about having my own son Judah come up, but I sort of get this picture of oppressive weight, like Judah giving me a piggyback. I think that would be pretty oppressive. He'd be restricted. He wouldn't be able to move. And he would probably harm, I'd probably harm him. I would be a burden on him. And so what is Paul talking about when it comes to burdens? Like, what are some things? In verse 1 of our passage, it talks about someone being caught in sin. That is a type of burden. Like, sin is a burden that we can't just carry ourselves. But there's other burdens. There might be deep sorrows or isolation or loneliness, or there might be poverty, or there might be other things that are going on, depression, mental health, mental stuff, disabilities. There's other burdens that people, we can't carry on our own, but we need a family as an individual to help carry us. And so Paul is saying that we need others in these times. It may be a time, it may be a lifetime, but it is so important that we don't just do life alone. Like, you know, we got this, we don't, you know, we got hit by a truck, you know, we're fine, you know, walk it off. You know, in some of these hard times, we need family and need people around to help us out. And then he talks about this concept or idea of load. And the idea of load is a weight that can be carried by an individual. So it's not oppressive, but it is, a load is something like a backpack. That's what I was envisioning. Maybe I should have gotten some more stage props, but like a backpack, it's something that you can carry by yourself, and it's something that it doesn't restrict you, but it enables you to go further. And so Paul is saying there are some things that you need to do solo. There's some things you should never do alone, but there's some things that you should really figure out and do alone. And things like your God-given calling. Like, you can't say, oh, look, you know, this person's so good and, you know, that's their calling and I'll support them. But each one of us has been given a calling or a particular role in our lives and particular gifts and particular finances and particular responsibilities that we need to take ownership of and be responsible for. And I think Jesus gets at that in the parable of the talents. You know, in I think it's Luke 19 where he talks about how God has given certain things to certain people, and when he comes back, he's going to ask, you know, like, what did you do with it? You know, what did you do with the gifts that I gave you? What did you do with the finances? What did you do with the time that I gave you? And you, and at that point you say, oh, no, I gave it to so-and-so. They, you know, they sorted it out. No, Jesus is going to call us all to account, and he's going to say, hey, what did you do in your life that with what I've given you? So I guess those are the two different ideas that are going on in this passage. There's burdens and there's loads. And it's so important to tell the difference, because if you don't know the difference, bad things can happen. Just while I was starting to prepare this message, I was at the gym. I don't know why I keep giving gym illustrations, but I love that place. And I had a little bit of a break in Albany. It was real sweet, real relaxing. Come back, first up in the gym, I was feeling really good. Like, my muscles weren't sore at all, so I was going to really push it. First exercise was like a shoulder press. I push up and something, I don't know, like I just thought I was Superman. I didn't think straight, and something in my neck went twang, and I was like, so much pain. I finished the workout because of the adrenaline and stuff, but then I got home and literally Kelsey heard me complain for a week, probably more. And in bed, I couldn't roll over, and I was just miserable. And in the office, I was like a vegetable, and had heat packs and all kinds of scarves and things. I tried everything, but why am I telling you this story? Because I didn't see that this was a load, a burden. I saw it as a load, and so when I lifted it, I actually shouldn't have done that by myself. And I did damage. And so when we lift burdens that we think we can carry by ourselves, we can do damage to ourselves. We can harm ourselves. We can prolong the healing of certain things. But then the opposite is true as well. If we don't take responsibility, or if we don't carry our own loads, then what happens is we don't grow. Alan and Olivia set this up really well with the Connect groups. Like, if we don't take responsibility and have people accountable, we're going to get there, but have people accountable for what we do, we become, we just keep sidetracking our calling and sort of don't step up to everything that God has called us to do. And so what is Paul challenging us with this morning? This is not me, this is the passage. He's saying, pick it up. I mean, pick it up, whatever it is. If it's someone who's in need, pick up and help them carry their burden. If it's your own personal responsibilities, be proud of it, hold it, take it, run with it. If there's something that's been going on, like behind the scenes, that you feel God's calling you to, but you've never really stepped out, Paul's saying, hey, if God has given you a particular load, a particular thing to a gifting or ability to do, don't delay it, don't wait for it, but step into that and pick it up and run with it. And obviously, like with the burdens, like there's some things that people should not have to walk the journey alone with. Ironically, I just said walk because I know this church is really, really incredible when it comes to carrying other people's burdens. And I know there's a lot of really caring and thoughtful people who are really looking out for the best interests of others. And the September before, I broke my foot. And it got all mashed up and I couldn't walk for ages. And there was just so many people that were at our side, you know, helping us. Kelsey was pregnant with our second, and Judah was crazy with 5 o'clock rat hour, and people would come with meals and really help us out. And that was just one of those times that we just probably would have really done some damage to our marriage, to our relationships, if we didn't have the support that we needed. And so I just want to encourage us, keep up that looking out for people, caring for people, carrying others' burdens. So that's the first point, that families have burdens and loads, and we've got to know the difference between the two and act accordingly, because some things we have to let go and give to others, some things we need to actually pick up and carry. So then leading into that, it's like, why don't we carry our own load sometimes, or carry others' burdens, or release the burdens that we have to see others help us? And that's our second point, which is families have blind spots. Sometimes there's things in our lives that create blind spots which stop us from, I guess, doing what Paul is talking about in carrying one another's burdens and taking responsibility for our loads. The first one is this idea of unaccountability, which leads to a lack of personal responsibility. That sounds pretty fancy. Unaccountability leads to a lack of personal responsibility. So in Galatians 1, it says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or also you may be tempted." So accountability is one of those things, it's like, it's not always nice, because it points out like the not so nice things about us. And Alan and Olivia actually were talking about, you know, this idea that, you know, if you have someone that's keeping you accountable, you'll actually grow. Whenever I think of accountability, I think of driving with a spouse. I don't know if you've ever driven with a spouse before. I'm sure it happens. You just give some positive feedback, you know, like indicate, slow down, ease off. All right, you can speed up a little bit, you know, we don't have to stay in the slow lane. I just think it's positive feedback, you know, but sometimes it gets received the wrong way, and it can cause unnecessary dramas. But that's just a joking illustration. But in our lives, there's certain things that we're not happy about, and it's sometimes you can get defensive when people get in your space and start like calling out some of the hard things and the negative things and the things that we often try and hide. But when you enter into an accountable relationship that Paul's sort of outlining here, where, you know, if someone sins against you, or if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore, like, the best place that happens is in close community with someone, in a relationship with someone, where you are walking the journey with someone. It's a bit odd when someone off the street just says, hey, look, I've noticed your Facebook page and this, and it's like, oh, hold on, Tiger, like, just take it easy. You have no place in my life to, like, share that, even if it is true. But when we enter into accountable relationships, we become... We allow people to examine our lives and speak into our lives, into the blind spots that we don't have. And so when people are starting to speak into the blind spots, maybe, you know, I haven't spent heaps of time with my family. Maybe I have spent too much time doing something else. Maybe I've spent too much money for this. I personally need accountability, and I've had a great accountability triplet that we've been doing the journey where these guys have been walking alongside me and just going, hey, you know, like, what do you think of this? Or I'm seeing this, or, and I'm able to speak into their lives. And it's this great, like, transaction where we're starting to grow in our personal responsibilities and callings in life, because we can see some of the things that, you know, we may not have seen if we were just doing life by ourselves. And so then Paul goes on, he talks about this idea of restoring others gently. Like, how you have the accountable conversation as well is really important, right? Like, you can't just come in like Miley Cyrus on a wrecking ball, and it's like, I'm here and I'm going to point out all your faults, but you actually got to do it gently. He says that, you know, restore him gently. And the term restore is actually a term that has this like medical connotations, like restoring or repairing a bone. And so when we're to restore bones, we do it delicately, we do it gently, we don't just slam it in position, unless you've broken your nose and they have to like re-break it, which my nose is still broken, still a bit cut up about. But he says to do it delicately, to do it gently. So when you're having these accountable conversations, it's like, hey, I've been noticing this, and you're not being rough and heartless, but you're taking care. But the one thing with restoring people is, or repairing bones, is you can't just leave it go unattended. So if you're leaving people to go unaccountable and they're constantly doing harm to themselves or living in a certain way, then things get more damaged. Like when you don't repair a broken bone and it reheals and it causes lifelong trouble. Accountability is so important for us because it helps heal us and it helps mend and helps us see the blind spots that we have. And so for adults, like connect groups is that space, that place for you to be accountable to others, to really have the deeper life conversations. It's not just like how you're going at church, but it is like, hey, you know, how are you doing with your relationship with your spouse, or how are you doing with your kids, or how are you doing with your friendship groups, and how are you living out your life at work. For young adults, you're needed to walk closely with other young adults, to encourage them in their young working life and in their uni and campus type stuff. Like, you're needed in that ministry. And youth, you are needed as well. You are needed for the growth and flourishing of other young people, so that kids would look up to you and go, hey, wow, this is something that I want to be when I'm that age. And so Alan and Olivia have talked about this idea of connect groups, and I just urge you, I think it's so important, get connected, be a part of a connect group, because that is so important. But the second thing that Paul talks about that create blind spots is actually comparison of others, and that leads to a lack of communal responsibility. So where do I get that? In Galatians 6:3-4, Paul says this. He says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself with anybody else. So what is he saying? He's saying, test your own actions, take responsibility for yourself, and then he's saying, so that you don't think that you're someone else and deceive yourself. And oftentimes with comparison, I mean, I do it all the time. I compare, I see certain things in other people, and it distorts how I see myself. When I start comparing myself with people, they're looking so good, you know, I wish I looked like that, or, you know, they're not that great at music, you know, what were they doing on stage? Never at Sun Life, we've always got great musos, just want to say that. That person's so smart, I'll never be that smart. And the reality is, you probably will never be that smart, or you will never be that good at music, or you will never be a certain thing. But that's okay, right? Because God's created you unique, with unique abilities, unique gifts. And when we compare our weaknesses with others' strengths, we start thinking that God's messed up. And that's not true. And so we start distorting our views of people, and then what we think of ourselves then determines how we live and respond to other people. So when you compare yourself positively with someone else, then you'll start going around like, you know, I'm better than people, I look down at people because, you know, I've got so much more gifts. And generally speaking, I'm not saying this is like a blanket thing, but generally speaking, if you think you're really good, then you won't help out. You won't carry someone's burden because you're too good to carry someone else's baggage. But then the opposite is also true, that comparing yourself negatively with other people will make you take a lower view and make you feel like so insignificant, and that, you know, when it comes to actually carrying someone else's baggage or helping someone out, it's like, I'm not good enough for that. Like, I can't do that. So both sort of extremes, like if you're extremely arrogant or if you're extremely like insecure, they will hinder us from helping people out. But when we view ourselves in light of who God is and compare ourselves to who He is, our great sin, our great problems, and then His great love, that gives us this real sense of humility, like, hey, I'm not too good to help someone out. But then also, I'm so loved and secure that I can help someone out. You know, like, do you see that in the gospel, how we are so much more loved than we think we are, and we're probably so much more sinful than we think we are, so that as we receive the love of God, we actually go, hey, I can be humble and secure and really contribute to someone else's benefit. And so The couple questions that I had just for application in this point is, do you avoid being a part of accountable relationships? If you have, I'd encourage you to stop. Stop avoiding being a part of a close community, an accountable community, because when you enter into that space, you begin to open doors and be challenged in areas that you never would have without it. And then the other thing is, do you fall into the comparison trap? Do you find yourself comparing yourself with others and maybe going, oh, look at that person, or whoa, look at that person, you know, sort of the two contrasts, and both of them sort of lead to either feeling like you're better or worse than someone else. But when you see God for who He is, you realize, you know, you're all broken and created to be loved by God. So families have blind spots, and as a family, we have these blind spots that lead to not wanting to be accountable and comparing ourselves with others. So we need to constantly look back to God and say, God, you know, look at, here's your grace, this is who we are. And then God sets a pattern. So the families have a pattern for how we should live, how we should be. And every family has a pattern. I can guarantee you, like if I picked out like one of your families and go, all right, so what is a unique thing that you do as a family, or a unique quirk? Maybe you don't know because you haven't been married, but as soon as you get married, you realize the family quirks, right? Not so much Kelsey's family, my wife, but she found out a few things that she wasn't expecting. Because we just had some quirks. Our family's got certain values, certain behaviors, certain things we do that, yeah, are constantly different to how she ran. But in the big picture of things, we're created in the image of God, right? And we have this sin and we are separated from God, but then He adopts us into His family. And then in His family, God the Father sends the Son as this perfect model, as this perfect pattern of how we should live or how we could be. And let's just take a moment now just to have a look at this passage through the lens of Jesus, through the lens of what He's done. So in verse 3, it talks about being someone that you're not and deceiving yourselves. Well, Jesus doesn't think that He is something that He is not. Philippians 2 talks about him who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. So we have a God that we come here to worship that doesn't come in thinking He's something that He's not, but He comes humbly, not arrogantly, and He lays down His privileges. He lays down His high seat to take the low seat. And then in verse 5, Paul talks about, you know, carrying your load. Well, Jesus carries His load, His unique calling. John 17 talks about this when Jesus prayed, I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work which You gave Me to do. So Jesus doesn't just like dodge His responsibilities, because He's got a pretty tough call, right? If God sort of rang you up and said, hey, you're going to be the savior of the world, you're going to have to die, you're going to be totally shamed. I don't know if I would have picked up the call, would have let it run through to voicemail. But He doesn't. He fully steps in and takes on His load and His calling and His responsibility so that He was faithful to the end. And then verse 2, it talks, Jesus carries our burdens. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Jesus has broad shoulders. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're working on, whatever challenges that you may be facing day in, day out, He carries that. And not only does He carry our day in, day out, but He carries the weight of our sin. And in Him carrying His load, He actually bears all of our burdens on top of that. And so that He becomes this incredible God that isn't like the Pharisees, like that who stood from the top down and looking, but Jesus comes and picks us up. And he heaps our burdens on himself. And then finally, Jesus restores us gently in verse 1. And I believe Psalm 23 is like one of the most often quoted passages in the Bible, but don't miss this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And here it is, "He restores my soul." He restores my soul. "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Jesus had every right not to restore us, to abandon us, to reject us, to leave us, to treat us harshly, but he doesn't. He treats us gently. And he tends to us, and he leads us, and he restores us. And so I guess what that means for us is that we see God as both bearing our burdens and carrying his load. And so on the one hand, it gives us this great security and peace from all worry and anxiety and that kind of thing, because we can put our burdens onto Christ. We can give our trouble and our struggles to Christ. But then on the other hand, Jesus fully walked out his calling and fully lived a life that God had called him to, that we can be inspired by, that we can follow, that we can die for this mission just as Jesus died. We might not literally die, we may literally die, but we might metaphorically die for everything that God would have for us, that we would lay down our plans, our purpose. And so in the one hand, we have this great sense of rest and security, and the other hand, we are inspired to, you know, take on the world and to do everything that God would call for us. And I guess if this is truly Jesus, if we truly believe that this Jesus is what we profess as to be true, then there's not an option for being a spiritual hitchhiker. And I was thinking about this actually the other day. We moved from being a spiritual hitchhiker to be a spiritual Uber driver. You like that? Instead of you know, just catching lifts with people, we actually become a vessel for people to reach their calling. We actually able to draw people closer to God and take them on a journey. We become people that pay for the car and that own the car and that do all the maintenance on the car and that kind of thing. But we do that because we know that God has given us gifts and abilities to do some serious kingdom impact in our lives and in this time. And so, you know, I could be really frustrated with my upbringing and with my brother, and oftentimes I think about this idea of, you know, what if I came up with those amazing strategies? What if I came up with those, you know, those quick dodge tactics, and then he would be stuck with it, but he was always quicker and he was always better at that. But then when I think about Jesus, and when I think about the burden that he bared for me, when I think about the sacrifice and the extent that he went for me, how could I not want to go the extra mile for my family? How could I not want to help out around the house with a few small tasks? How could I not want to support other people who are doing it tough? When Jesus carried so much for me, how could I just sit back and go, "Jesus, that's too much, you know, I don't want to help out"? And so it's only in the gospel do we find that unique balance between being dependent on God and finding rest in God, but then also finding this great opportunity to be used by God and to fulfill his calling. And so I want to finish where we started, which is families need people and people need families. And in Sun Life Church, you are needed. Each one of you are needed. And each one of you have a specific gift. And each one of us can add value to the greater whole. And each one of us, when we live out our unique calling, when we live out our unique gifting, and where we contribute that to the body, we grow. But the body grows as well. The church grows. And so I guess I just want to conclude this time with this I guess this moment where we can just spend thinking about two things. If you want to shut your eyes, and it's just a bit of a reflection time, a bit of a response. I'm not going to ask you to do anything crazy. But as a time, just to do business with God and just to speak with Him and just to connect with Him. And as I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about two types of people. The type of person that is constantly going through life not wanting to let anyone in and not trusting people and not trusting God with the certain burdens in our lives. And I want to encourage this person, whoever that is, that you don't have to do things alone. You don't have to do life alone, and you don't have to be living a life hidden. But you can come into the presence of God and you can submit your burdens to Him. You know, Peter talks about cast your anxieties on the Lord and He'll sustain you. And so if that's you, I just want to encourage you, just take a moment, make a commitment today that you are going to give and hand the things that are keeping you burdened, that are holding you back, that you will hand them to God and that you will say, God, would you take these from me because they're so heavy, I'm so tired. The second person that I wanted to encourage is the person who may have felt like they've had this calling all along to pursue something, to work on something, to you know, God's placed a particular load on your heart, but you have never really taken the moment to step out into that and taken ownership of the calling that God might have on your life. And so I want to encourage you that life may be scary, but Jesus is with you and you're going to be okay. He's going to care for you. And that as you step out into your calling, you will see things that you would not have seen. You'll experience growth in your life that you never would have experienced. And I want to encourage you, take that bold leap of faith and step out in courage. Step out in making that decision. So let me pray for us as a church.